Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. We are called together this day to praise God. We ask that God will put us in pathways to service to others. The Lord will walk with us as we faithfully witness to Christ's love. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your words and will. Come, let us worship God. Let us sing our praises to God, our Redeemer and Healer. Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Ooh. He has sounded for the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory.
Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Marching on, our God is marching on.
Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
As it was in the beginning,
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little maid from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the maiden from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 festal garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much rather then would he say to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. Oh, America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
America,
Our scripture text this morning comes from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me round among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, and the world. Thanks be to God. A father took his young daughter to see the Statue of Liberty. He taught her the meanings of the torch and the book that the statue holds. She was really impressed as she noted the inscription at the base of the statue, which reads, Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden shore. When they returned home, she seemed restless. Her dad asked if there was anything the matter, and she said, Daddy, that lady must be awfully tired after holding up her arm all these years. Isn't there any way that we can help her hold up her torch? My friends, indeed, we must help the lady with her torch. Christian responsibility means more than waving the flag and giving speeches. There's a wisdom and work involved in being a Christian citizen. And as we move towards celebrating our nation's 246th birthday, let us be inspired by the example of another patriot. The time was long ago. The city had been captured and destroyed, its best young citizens carried away to prison camps. Even the religious symbols and treasures were gone. The meeting house was leveled. It was a time to wail. That city was Jerusalem. The patriot, Ezekiel. What did he do? How did he serve God and his beloved Israel in the midst of such tragedy and downfall? Take a look at the conditions that we read in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 and 2, where Ezekiel was given this vision of a valley of dry bones, and the bones represented his nation, his beloved Israel. Notice that each word conveys how sad the situation had become. There was a valley. It was a place of depression. The valley was full of bones as far as the eye can see. There were so many bones, and they were on the floor of the valley. and they were very dry, meaning they had been there for some time. Ezekiel's whole nation had been sacked. The people appeared to him as nothing more than a valley of dry, parched bones. There was little hope that Israel would ever be a viable nation again. To many of the Christian family today, our nation appears in much the same condition as in Ezekiel's day. Friends, we are indeed a parched people. We are filled with broken marriages, our economy in shambles, morality parched beyond recognition. There is no move of God sweeping through the land. We live in confusion, where the eggs of bald eagles are preserved like gold and the unborn humans are discarded as garbage. Those who choose to discipline their children are as apt to be disciplined by the courts for abuse. The truly violent have their rights protected, while praying in school makes you a target for being arrested as a fundamentalist fanatic. We have truly arrived at a time in history of major moral bankruptcy. What shall we do? To whom do we turn? One certain answer is that we don't want to wait for the government to fix it. As I was preparing for today, I learned that in Indiana, back in the late 1990s, Gideon Bibles were placed in each of the state park's 500 hotel rooms. And there was a group called the Freedom from Religion Foundation, which won the right to place their own pamphlet in the name of Equal Time. That pamphlet describes the Bible as a violent, racist, sexist fable. But according to law, the governor had no choice but to allow the pamphlets right along with the Gideon Bibles. How in the world did we ever get this way? The answer is relative to the law of harvest. We have sown wild seed. We are reaping an incredibly violent whirlwind. Today's generation was handed a country with a history of unparalleled freedom and choices. The problem is that we didn't earn it. It was handed to us. In 1776, Thomas Paine said, "What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly." Colton's philosophical statement should convict us all. Liberty is not handed down to a people. A people must raise themselves up to liberty. Liberty is a blessing that must be earned before it can be enjoyed. Christians must be keen observers of the conditions. We must be students of theology, but we must not forget our history. We must learn well the lessons of the past. And then, as Ezekiel says in verses 3 through 10, we must obey the call. Ezekiel was instructed to preach the word of God to the bones, or the people nation of Israel. Our call is to preach the word of God and use the word of God to change our moral bankruptcy into a manifold blessing. Note the way that this unfolds. You need to decide to obey. To many, the idea of being involved at all goes against their grain. Preach to those dysfunctional bones? Nah, let them rot. God asked Ezekiel the question that had to be in the prophet's mind. Do these bones stand a chance? And for many of us, it is easier to wash our hands of any involvement and just do what suits me and mine. But that is never God's way. He helped Joshua call God's children to follow and obedience. As Joshua 24:15 says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If you're going to obey, though, you must make certain you are obeying the correct authority. Note that Ezekiel did the preaching, but it was God who did the reassembly work on the nation's skeleton. God's word is the authority for believers. As we read in the scriptures, all authority is of God. All power is of God. Whatever power man exercises, he exercises merely as a delegated power and authority from God. There are times when the government does things that are clearly against scripture. In that case, a Christian's responsibility is to change the government or to disobey. As Peter says in Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. The result will be the filling of the Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, there is no life. It is no different for a nation, a church, or an individual. Without the Spirit, it's just a carcass, a skeleton with skin. You may be moving around, but you're dead. This nation cannot survive without God's Spirit. We do need to overcome the challenges. Ezekiel saw dried up bones, and the people themselves said that they were all finished. You see that in the second part of verse 11. There's a challenge of hopelessness that must be overcome in our land today. We need to open up the graves. God told the prophet he would open the graves. He would bring the people back to their land in purpose. That is what we must do. We must get back to our purpose, freedom and justice and mercy and love. In order to do that, we must all participate. Christians that don't vote are being disobedient. Christians that don't stand with their life as a holy example are discouragers. We need to stand in faith and make plans for the future. Jeremiah did that. When his nation was carried into captivity and he was in prison, he arranged to buy a plot of land so when God brought an end to the captivity, he would then have a homestead. That's faith. In each of our minds, we must allow God to open up our grave and push us into battle and overcome the challenges that we face. There was a man who took his son to the tiny rural community where he grew up. He was disappointed to discover that the little church where he attended as a boy had disbanded. The windows were broken, the doors were hanging on the hinges, the pews, they were dusty and dirty, and the pulpit was knocked over. Debris was everywhere. And his son said, "Daddy, do you reckon that the bell is still there?" The father pulled the bell rope and it clanged. "Ring the bell again, Daddy." And the man and his son continued to ring the bell and a crowd began to gather. And the boy said, "Why don't you ask them to come in? We can stand up the pulpit and you can read to them from the Bible." A congregation gathered inside, and that day a church was revived, and it all started when a little boy said, "Ring the bell." For the sake of those who come after us, we must continue to ring freedom's bell. For the sake of Christ's kingdom, we must ring Calvary's bell again. For the sake of decency, morality and responsibility, we must never stop ringing those bells. Won't you pray with me this morning? Lord God, our loving Father in heaven, hear us, for we are desolate, our hopes are dashed, our dreams are gone. What, Lord, do we have hope for? We have your promise that you will not forsake us. We have your assurance that you will be with us even to the end. Give us, we pray, courage to carry on. Give us, we pray, wisdom to see what your will is in all of this. Give us, we pray, the knowledge that you will breathe life again into the dry bones of all we hold dear. Give us, we pray, those great three gifts, faith, hope and love, that we may see this time of trial through. In your mercy, Father, hear our prayer. We pray these things as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know not how this saving us through the word, creating faith in Him.
But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.